Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Black Belt Selling with Stephanie and Anna Scheller. I'm Anna.
And I'm Stephanie.
We are a mother-daughter team who are passionate about taking you to the next level of your sales training and coaching. On Black Belt Selling, we share content and we interview experts to help you kick through those obstacles that are keeping you from reaching the next level. If you want to learn more about us, I encourage you to join us on our Facebook group at www.facebook.com/groups/Black Belt Selling. You can learn more about us as a team there. And plus, we're getting ready to make our group a lot more engaging, much more interactive, and a place where you'll be able to share what you do in your business or product. But today's topic, Stephanie, is a hot topic, even though it's cold calling. The hot topic, I know, because we've gotten a lot of response on the internet for this particular show. The definition of cold calling is the solicitation of business from potential customers who have had no prior contact with the salesperson conducting the call. It is usually an attempt to convince potential customers to purchase either the salesperson's product or service. And Stephanie, that's the definition from Wikipedia. You know, you when you first got started in sales, you did a lot of cold calling. Why don't you share with our listeners the experience that you had in cold calling?
Well, this is a little bit of a long one. When I got my first job in sales, I walked in on my first day, and you know, my sales manager was waiting for me and said, you know, hey, how's it going? Great, great. He goes, come with me. Takes me into the back room, hands me a workbook, says, this is your, it was really a flip chart workbook, and he says, this is your sales thing. And he walks me through it once, twice, hands it to me, says, walk me through it. I walked him through it once. He said, try it again. I did it again. He said, great, you sound good. Here you go. Handed me a copy of the phone book and pointed me to the phone. And I was like, wait. Seriously? He's like, yeah, just pick a page and start calling businesses. I said, what do I say? He said, just tell them that you're here with, you know, the name of the company. You'd like to come out and talk to them about some potential marketing matches for their business. So I started calling and calling and calling and calling. And that first week, I called almost 500 people.
Oh, my goodness.
1 week. Because literally all I did was come in, sit down with my phone book, pick it, you know, go to the yellow pages, pick up the phone, and just start dialing. I got a lot of people who hung up on me. I ran very few appointments, but I just started dialing. And that was my first experience with cold calling. Now, cold calling since then has been, for a long time, it's been one of my favorite techniques for generating new business, because it's an excellent place. If you have nothing better to do, you are not closing sales. You're not doing something that's revenue producing during office hours. Cold calling is a great way to get out there. I mean, it's easy to get the leads. You go online, you run a Google search. Congratulations, you got a whole ton of leads. It's a great way to keep your business, keep working on your business when you've got nothing else going for you at that particular moment in time. So I'm actually a huge fan of cold calling. I know a lot of people are not, but I think that there's a lot of people out there that if they would do more cold calling in their business, they would find a lot more sales success.
You know, I agree with you. I think that there's a lot of reasons people don't cold call, but you know, I find it fascinating that you call it your favorite way to generate new business when a lot of people are probably looking for other ways to generate new business. Mm-hmm. What do you think keeps people from wanting to pick up the phone and call somebody that they may or may not know?
Oh, human beings don't really like failure. And they don't like, you know, first, I guess there's really two pieces to this. We don't like failure in general. So when we get a no, it's very intimidating. Basically, we failed. and people obviously not a fan, they're not going to be so interested in cold calling. However, there is another side of it, and the other side that I often see is that people don't want to be salesy. They don't want to come across as salesy, and cold calling is probably the epitome of salesy. People get intimidated by the idea of coming across as a salesman or being salesy, or they say that's not how my business operates. And so there's a fear of rejection, and there's a fear of coming across the wrong way. And I think those are really the two biggest reasons that people don't pick up the phone. Now, you know, on the backside, there's a couple more. There's always a reluctance for some people to talk to a complete stranger, which is understandable. I'm not a huge fan of talking to complete strangers either. And then there's also the fear of, I just don't know what to say. What on earth am I going to say once I get them on the phone that's going to try and get them to not say no? And so it kind of ties into the first one, which is the fear of rejection, the fear of failure.
Right. You know, I want to expound a little bit on the whole idea of people don't want to come across salesy. And we're going to talk about tips to help people overcome the fear of cold calling, ways to help you, you know, reach out to people that have a possible need for your service. One of the things, though, about salesy is that a lot of times when we think about cold calling, we're thinking about telemarketers. We're thinking about sitting at the dinner table, the phone rings, and everybody's eyes roll in their heads because they just sat down, everyone's hungry. The last thing anybody wants to do is to get up, answer the phone, to have to hang it up. But we do it anyway. We go pick up the phone. And, you know, in the days before you were born, or when you were a little girl, actually, so it's not that far back, in those days, you know, they basically would just start in and just launch into their presentation. They would say, is this a shell or home? And if I said yes, then immediately I got, well, my name is blah, blah, blah. I'm with such and such and blah, 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 blah. And, you know, before you know it, you can't even interrupt them because they're not even listening, right? They're not even hearing what you have to say. And so you as a customer feel like if you're just a number and you don't feel like you're being cared for. So the whole idea of being salesy is we associate that with the days when telemarketers call and they're just not even listening to the prospect. And, you know, one of the things that as I was putting together this episode, I was trying to think of, you know, what are the important aspects of cold calling that we really need to keep in mind? And again, we're going to talk more about this later, but the whole idea that we have to remember is that cold calling, whether you're talking to somebody you already know, but especially if you're talking to someone you don't know, which is what cold calling is, your job is to begin to establish trust and rapport as quickly as possible and still get the information you need across to your potential client so that you can move forward with a relationship. Now, when I say moving forward with a relationship, I'm not talking about closing a deal right on the spot. We deal with a customer base, Stephanie, that is so much more intelligent and can do so many more things. Comment on that. I know it wasn't necessarily in our script, which is kind of fun because this means that Stephanie's off-the-cuff comments are far more interesting than when I script her comments out.
Just ask me the question again so I can wrap my my head around that one.
The question is, we are dealing with a different, more informed customer base. how does that impact cold calling?
People want to feel, you know, I, the reason I had to have you ask that particular question is because I got distracted thinking about, you know, what you were talking about first, which is that people felt like they were not a priority for the salesman. People felt like they were just a number, and no one likes that. You know, let me just push you into a sale. You already intruded on my family time. So I got distracted thinking on that topic. So we're dealing with a more informed customer base, and that's true. We are. We've got a customer base that is informed or thinks they are informed, right? We've got this great, great thing, Google. And I can go and I can Google and get the answer to whatever I'm looking for within minutes. It's awesome.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it makes people feel like they are more informed. And they tend to take that information at face value, which isn't always a smart thing to do for those of you listening. You know, Google's great, but anybody can put anything on the internet. So you're dealing with customers who are smarter. They don't want to be manhandled. They don't want to be pushed into anything. They want to be acknowledged for the knowledge that they have. They want to feel like they are just as important to you because they are smarter. They do know more. They don't, you know, we went through the phase where we had the scammers calling and they would take you through the entire sale at dinner time. We don't care about that anymore. We're not okay with that. We're not interested in that. We don't like being sold like that, and so we don't respond to it because we are smarter. We are more experienced. We know what to avoid. We know what you know, is going to be a waste of our time and our money, and we're much quicker to avoid those types of scenarios.
Right, right. And I think, too, when we're in a cold calling situation, it's critical to realize that you can't take the no's personally. What's the mm-hmm. saying? You've got to get at least 10 no's to get to one yes. So mm-hmm. you just have to prepare yourself for the fact that not everybody's going to be excited about speaking to you, or not everybody's going to have time to talk to you, or you're going to have to leave voicemails or whatever the case may be. But, you know, I actually get excited when I leave voicemails because that means that now I don't have to go look for a new prospect. I can actually just follow up on a phone call that I made a few days before. So mm-hmm. it's really critical that people not take it personally when they can't close an appointment or whatever the purpose of the call is. You were going to say?
Yeah. No, I was just going to say, you know, it, especially in cold calling, you have to understand there's a couple of techniques, and we're going to break into those pretty quickly here, but there's techniques you can use to soften up the conversation and warm it up so that you aren't trying to, you know, cut into something that's ice cold. But it is important to realize that cold calling is, you know, it's the start. When I was first started my sales training practice, I had no business. I had nowhere to go. I couldn't attend networking events. I didn't have money to put into a whole ton of marketing. I had really one option to get sales, and I ran the sales system, the sales funnel, for 4 months straight until my business was in a place where I could walk away from my corporate job. The sales funnel itself was enough to get me to walk away from my job, and it started with cold calling because I did not have another way to try and get those appointments. Now, you know, I will comment, I cold called, you know, I cold called hundreds of businesses every single week. I was cold calling at least 150 businesses a week, and I was only calling on my lunch hours.
One hour a day,
and I would make it through about 20 to 30 calls, so 25 calls on average. And so I was going through a lot of cold calling, and I was putting a lot of time in it. And when I walked away from my corporate job, I was still putting a lot of time into cold calling. If I didn't have a networking event to attend, I didn't have a face-to-face meeting to attend, I didn't have a speaking engagement to run, and I didn't have a coaching call to run, I was on the phone cold calling. And it wasn't until really December that I realized I don't have to, you know, I haven't cold called since September of last year.
Wow.
I've been booking, you know, my speaking engagements, I get emails all the time now asking me if I can come out and speak. Got a call with a guy right after this one who wants to know if I can come out to speak. It's incredible to me to see that now I've built up the name. I've built up the brand, and I don't have to cold call anymore. But at the same time, I've hired people to do it for me now. I have someone right now, actually, who is cold calling, setting appointments for me right now while I'm running this show. So I believe it is a vital part of any business because it is a great way to break into a cold market. But it's something that a lot of people shy away from, and I think that's where they get themselves into a lot of trouble here.
Exactly. And so like in the next couple of minutes, we're going to start talking about cold calling tips to help you close, to help improve your closing rate. But before we do that, I want to let you know about the CD set that we have put together. It is 4 CDs of the most popular interviews of our first year of broadcasting. We are in our second year of broadcasting, which is very exciting. So in this set, you will learn the mental attitude necessary to break through obstacles to success, the critical component often overlooked for building confidence to close, how to close before asking for the order. Wouldn't all of us love to know more of that? As well as strategies behind the close to become a master. Now, the CD set, I'm very excited because we should have the CD or the the website up sometime next week where you can go to get the bonuses, which will include a bonus track that you're going to be able to download from the internet. The cost of the CD set is only $29, and you can email us at annajoescheller@gmail.com to place your order. Next week, we should have the web link up and ready to go where you can order it online. So I'm very excited about that, and we want to be able to offer that resource. We're going to change the name of this to Volume 1 because we're going to be putting together volumes of sets based on different topics that we've covered in the first year, and I think you guys are going to be absolutely amazed at what we've been able to do just our very first year in radio. All right, so let's move on to cold calling tips because the people who are listening are probably very interested in knowing how can I do more cold calling without feeling like a nerd. So first of all, Stephanie, you've already established the value of cold calling, especially in business development. But what is one of the first things that we can recommend that our customers do, our listeners?
Well, the first thing that I would recommend that you do is, first of all, you have to keep in mind that this is about the client, not you. Focus on the client. As soon as you get them on the phone, your questions, your attention, everything is on the prospect. Don't talk about who you are, what you do, or all about your company. This is about them. You know, what you're doing right here is you are about to make a sale. Now, you may not close a traditional sale where they're going to give you a credit card, but you're about to make a sale. And that, in order to do that, you have to follow the sales process. And the first step of the sales process is, well, to build trust and rapport. The next step is to identify needs. Both of those are about the prospect. Both of those are about the client. So I encourage you, as soon as you get on the phone, make it about, hi, my name is Stephanie Scheller. I'm a sales trainer here in San Antonio, and I was told you were the person to talk to about setting up a free sales training for you locally. Is that true? Yes, absolutely. Okay, do you mind if I ask a couple quick questions? Oh, okay, sure. And they're going to be a little confused because no one else calls them and asks to ask them questions. So you get on the phone with them, hey, do you mind if I ask you a couple questions? I'm interested in doing this training, but let me get to know you a little bit more. Tell me exactly what is your role with the company. Tell me where the company is going this year. Tell me how many sales reps do you have. Tell me about, you guys have a weekly meeting. Tell me about what are your team struggling with. Get them to talk to you. Make this all about the client. And then at some point they're going to cut you off and go, okay, hold on, you called me. Why am I doing all the talking here? What do you want from me? And you go, well, I'm looking to come in and do, whatever. I'm coming looking to get 15, 20 minutes on, to sit down with you in person or whatever it is you're looking for, but now you have fodder, now you have information that you can use to convince them why they need to sit down with you, why they need to buy from you, whatever it is you happen to be trying to sell.
You know, and that brings me to the next point, Stephanie, and that is that you want to plan your questions in advance, because the more information you are able to get from the client, the more likely you are to close a sale. You illustrated that so, so beautifully. But you want to organize your questions in a thoughtfully prepared sequence. Everything's about sequence. Everything's about intention. You know, you're not going to start by asking them about the weather. You're going to be very specific in your questions so that you can, number one, see if there's even a need for your business or service, because that's one of the risks of cold calling is you're going to call and the person may or may not need what you have. But once you establish that there's a need, then you want to ask questions to solicit more information so that you can target the problem that they're looking to solve through your product or service that you magically showed up for. And don't think that that doesn't happen. I actually had that happen this week where it wasn't actually a cold call, because this was a client that had contacted me several months back. However, as we continued our phone call, I called her back to talk to her about a new program I've put together. And she laughed at the end of the call and she said, "I don't know how you knew I needed to talk to you right now." And I'm going to tell you, those kinds of things happen with cold calling. Somebody's going to say, "I just was thinking about what am I going to do for sales training? How can I get some quality training in here to my people?" You just have no idea how you're going to be the answer to a prayer that they have. And that should help you with your cold calling, right, Steph?
Yeah, absolutely. You never know what you are going to find when you do your cold calling. You know, I teach everyone to come from a place of value. You know, it's probably the basis of my sales thesis is that you sell from a place of value. When you're selling from a place of value, you're selling something that does have value for people, then it's very easy to make those sales. It's very easy to close those sales because they mean something to you. They, you know, you can fight for them because you know it's going to help them. You don't mind it. You know, I had a guy yesterday, and this is a little off topic, so I'll wrap it up fast, but he's telling me about how he struggles with the follow-up. He doesn't follow up with them more than 3 or 4 times, so then he assumes they're not interested. And he just wouldn't follow up. He goes, "I'm probably leaving sales on the table." I said, "You probably are. You want me to fix that mindset for you?" He goes, "Yes." I said, "Think about how you can follow up with value." When you're offering value, even over the phone, cold calling, that's how I got through my cold calling, was I would offer them ideas on how to train their own team if they wanted it. So yeah. There's almost always people who are willing to sit down and talk with me. So, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I just wanted to finish what your thought is. Sorry.
Oh, I was going to move on to the next topic, so go ahead.
Well, you know, one of the things, and I mean, there's so much more, and there's so much on this particular topic that we could discuss, but, you know, I want to share with our listening audience the idea that less is more. Less is more. The whole idea that our temptation is to give too much information, offer too much on the first call, for whatever reason. But we really want to be very, very careful how we drip information to our client. We're still offering value, but we don't want to inundate them with everything that's happening and everything we can do, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
go ahead.
No, I completely agree. I mean, it's intimidating. If someone walks in, see, here's the thing. You're walking in on them, and they may not have time to talk with you. And if you walk in with just a handout, they're thinking you're one of those people who's just coming in to, or just a folder. They're thinking you're one of those people who's just coming in, you're going to give them a slip of paper and leave. So they're much less resistant. Whereas when you walk in with a briefcase, they may even refuse to look at you. They may be rude to you. They may be, whatever it is, because they're expecting if they give you the time of day, you're going to pull that old salesman technique. You're not going to let them talk to you. You're not going to let them say, you're not going to let them get a word of edgewise, and you're going to launch right into the sales pitch. And they're going to lose a half hour of their time because they're too polite to interrupt you. So less is more. Whether you're calling over the phone, give them less information. That was one of the things my first manager did right, was he always would tell me, hey, you've got to only sell them on the appointment. They start asking you what kind of marketing, you tell them it's great, it's cutting edge, I would absolutely love to talk with you, or you tell them we've got a lot of options here, we're going to find the one that fits you best. Never get into a talk with them on the phone about what kind of marketing techniques it is, because they'll get you on the phone. So do the same thing. Don't plan to give them a whole ton of information. Don't throw up with them. Every time I started to get into a throw-up situation where I was giving them information and information and information, I wouldn't be able to book the talk because we'd get to the end of it and they would need time to think it over. Whereas if I could get them to book the talk within the first 2 minutes, then it was perfect. We booked the talk, we moved on. And then I set up a follow-up call to work out the details.
Exactly. And the key is, especially in our culture now, is that you don't want to attempt to sell on your first cold call. You're simply trying to get information, and if there's a need that you can fill, you want to get that appointment. It's not about selling. That's where I think a lot of network marketers, if we have network marketers who are listening to us today, that's one of the areas that network marketers struggle with, because the tendency is to just say too much, try to sell the product the first time you meet somebody, and that's not going to close any sales for you. Or if you close the sale, it's because someone else had already warmed them up to your product, and you just happen to be in the right place at the right time. That's not going to get you more and more sales.
Right. I was just going to say that's not true sales technique. That's luck. That's not really true sales skills. So let me walk through, one more quick kind of last minute tip, but don't be afraid to ask them for the appointment. Don't be afraid to ask them to book right now. I was talking with a lady yesterday, and she goes, I'm absolutely interested in coming to your 2-day sales training event. That sounds great. But she didn't pull out her calendar to book it. And I know statistically, once they walk away, they're highly less likely to actually think about it and go back to it. So, I kept her talking, and then I got to the point where I said, well, you know what, let's just check our calendars real quick. And got her to pull her calendar out, look at it, check it. She said, that's perfect. Don't be afraid to ask. If you're really adding value, if you know you can help them out, don't be afraid to ask for it. Don't be afraid to ask them to connect with you. Because there's, more often than not, they're open to it. If you've done your job right, you've added value, you've given them a lot, they're likely be willing to work with you. Now, we only have a minute left. I want to encourage you guys. You've been hearing us talk about these CDs for a while. Get on board with it. Get a copy. $25, Mom?
$29.
Okay, they're $29.95. They'll be available for sale through a website shortly, but if you can't wait to get your hands on that, then reach out to us. You can get a hold of us in the Facebook group, facebook.com/group/BlackBeltSelling. You can also reach out to either one of us on Facebook or shoot either of us an email. We look forward to chatting with you guys. I know we've got a great show lined up for next week. I encourage you to take time. Join us again. Keep yourself learning, because that is what makes a black belt. That is what puts a black belt apart from the rest of the martial artists. They are always learning. In the meantime, I'm Stephanie. here for Anna, welcoming you, inviting you to join us again next week. We are the Black Belt Sellers of Southwest and Central Texas. Thanks so much and have a great week.